You're listening to SBS News.
In a leafy suburb in Perth's hills, Margot Bilby spends much of her time knitting in her living room. The house is quiet, and the knitting keeps Margot's mind active and her hands occupied. After a long battle with lung disease, she says her husband Michael took his own life in 2013.
He'd been a lifelong asthmatic, and it gradually got worse and worse until he was diagnosed with COPD, chronic obstructive pulmonary disorder. And he also was diagnosed with Parkinson's, although that was the least of his worries. He was down to 20% lung capacity, and he faced drowning in his own lung fluids. When he said, "How am I going to die?" the doctor said, "If you're lucky, you'll get pneumonia and die relatively quickly."
Michael chose not to wait for death to come on its own. It was a difficult time for Margot, but she understood her husband's decision.
Obviously, I didn't want to lose him. We'd been married for 51 years. But I could see how much he was suffering, and I knew how much he didn't want to go into hospital, and knew that if he did go into hospital, they couldn't help.
Since Michael's death, Margot joined a campaign to legalise assisted dying in Western Australia. That campaign secured a major victory on the 10th of December, when WA became the second Australian state to pass voluntary assisted dying legislation.
Today we will introduce into the Parliament our voluntary assisted dying rules. These are about showing kindness and compassion.
To be eligible for assisted dying in WA, a person must be living with a terminal illness that is likely to cause death within 6 months, or within 12 months if it's a neurodegenerative condition. They must be enduring suffering that they consider intolerable and have the capacity to make independent decisions about the assisted dying process. Supporters of assisted dying, where a patient takes a fatal dose of medication overseen by a qualified medical practitioner, say it's a quick and peaceful death. But not everyone is convinced. WA's laws were based on similar legislation in Victoria, but with a few differences. Unlike Victoria, WA will not require a patient to be seen by a medical specialist. The signatures of two general practitioners would be enough to participate in the program. In WA, doctors can also raise the option of assisted dying with the patient. Xavier Simmons is a bioethicist from Notre Dame University.
I think the concern of doctors being able to raise the topic of euthanasia with patients if the patient hasn't already done so is a genuine cause for concern. Medical professionals are some of the most trusted professionals in our society. Nevertheless, there are unfortunately rogue clinicians that we need to be concerned about, I think, with this legislation, that we should be trying to ensure that as much as possible requests are coming from patients and not from doctors, perhaps of more concern, families who are pressuring doctors to discuss the topic of assisted dying with their close one.
WA Health Minister Roger Cook says he takes those concerns seriously, but the new laws provide adequate safeguards.
We want a cautious regime, but we also want a compassionate regime. There are over 100 safeguards in this legislation with respect to making sure that patients aren't either abused or coerced into accessing voluntary assisted dying laws.
It's a program that Margot Bilby wants to see rolled out to all terminally ill Australians.
I've heard so many horrible, terrible stories of people dying in agony, choking to death. Everybody should have that option. I mean, he was dying, and people who are terminally ill should have that option.
Advocates say up to 100 West Australians could participate in the voluntary assisted dying program in its first year. Listeners seeking support and information about suicide can contact Lifeline 24 hours a day online and on 131114. Other services include the Suicide Callback Service on 1300 659 467 and the Australian Centre for Grief and Bereavement on 1800 642 066. Aaron Fernandez, SBS News.